FM4.
Reality Check Podcast. Beyond the headlines.
A judge in Scotland has refused to order a temporary halt to the suspension of the British Parliament due to start next Friday. He said he will hear the legal arguments on both sides on Tuesday and make a final ruling on Wednesday. It's one of several legal actions underway aimed at preventing a no-deal Brexit. The continuing crisis is a major worry for many people, especially European citizens living in the UK who do not have the right to vote there. One of them is FM4's very own Robert Rotifer. I asked him how it feels to have to watch from the sidelines.
You know, the weird thing is when you've lived as long in a country as I have, you know, just the fact that you have no vote in this country, you do feel kind of disenfranchised. And that sounds like an awfully grand word because, after all, you've only got, you know, one vote at an election. What difference does it make? But it really does make a huge difference psychologically. And at this moment where you feel that the country where you live in is drifting into quite a dark place politically, you do have this strange feeling of powerlessness, I have to say.
Many people living in Britain are very worried about what's going on, and there were demonstrations outside Downing Street. How did you experience those?
I have to tell you, my son went to the demonstrations on the first night after that, and he told me how good-natured it was. He gave me, you know, a very interesting account of it. And the interesting thing is that on College Green, you know, in front of the Houses of Parliament, it seems to be like a self-selecting audience there as well. There seem to be days when all the Brexit lots are there, and there seem to be other days when all the Remainers are there. And so far, they haven't properly clashed yet. But, you know, it's getting to the point where the atmosphere is certainly becoming quite febrile there. And yesterday on Sky News, a woman of Portuguese origin just kind of interrupted the news report and said, listen, I am here as a European citizen. I've been here for 20 years and I've had my settled status denied because of a formal error. And you could see the panic on her face and so on. And I think these are the moments, you know, when you can see the actual feeling of people who are beyond that, you know, technical debate, but they're very rare, I have to say.
What's your expectation, if I can ask you that, of what will happen in the coming weeks and months?
Well, unfortunately, you know, through my experience of the last 3 years, I think the opposition to the no-deal Brexit will fail in their efforts. Unfortunately, that's what I see coming. So I am bracing myself for that no-deal Brexit. And what I find quite intriguing is that, you know, no one seems to be really asking themselves what happens on the 1st of November, day one after a no-deal Brexit. And, you know, the irony is that I think the UK is in the worst negotiating position at that point because they have their backs to the wall. They need everything to work. So this is the one thing that I find quite astonishing, is that too many people in Britain, and I do really see this as a failure, not of just of the politicians, but of large swathes of the British media, think that if there's a no-deal Brexit, then that means the thing is over and done with. And that's when it really starts. So for me, that deadline is not the deadline. That deadline looks like a starting gun to me.
FM4
Reality Check.
Can activists use the Austrian court system to stop environmental destruction? Greenpeace has enlisted the help of lawyer Michaela Krömer to formulate Austria's first ever Klimaklage, a legal challenge to embed the obligation to protect Austrians from the climate crisis into the law. Michaela Krömer and Greenpeace Austria director Alexander Igitz joined me in the studio earlier today. And first, I asked Michaela why she's taking this route to more climate protection.
We all know that law is a very powerful tool because law makes the rules. And if we are not in compliance with the main rules that we've agreed upon, I think it's time for us lawyers to just make people and the courts aware of that.
Laws make the rules. Politicians make the laws. And next month, Austria has an opportunity to vote for a new government. There will be some parties campaigning on a very climate active platform and others who care less about the climate. They care about other things. So why not just let the people decide?
I'm not a politician, I'm a lawyer, and I'm just making sure that what we are doing is making sense with what we want, and that's a legal system that is capable of protecting us all.
Can you give me some concrete examples of the sort of laws that you would like to see challenged because of their climate impact?
we are looking at behavioral changes that are essential, and that's why we're looking at tax law, because taxes are pricing things, and that's why we're choosing one product over the other. It's about taxing a means of transportation that is the most climate friendly, and that's the railways. And that doesn't make sense.
Because people take the plane, for example, to Berlin rather than the train, just because it's cheaper to go with the plane.
I think that's what's happening.
If a party campaigns on the basis that they want to see 140 kilometers per hour rather than 130 on the motorways, and the voters like that and vote them in, and then you guys come along and try and change that through the law, wouldn't that just seem like sour grapes? Like you just didn't accept the choice of the people?
Fundamentally spoken, it is not actually the question whether there's a political majority and then this political majority actually decides about everything, because there's a very important principle, and that is that we need to protect those that are most vulnerable, for example, older people, younger people. So even if there's a 90% majority, it's unacceptable that young people and old people are actually set up to die because of the emissions, for example, from 140 or anything else that is in principle wrong. This is also a principle of law. The law is actually for everybody. It's also for the weaker part of the society. So even if there's a majority, it's a democratic principle, actually, that those need to be protected.
FM4, you're at home, baby.
Austrian freeskier Matthias Mayer has just been on an adventure to the far north. With his ski partner Matthias Haunholder, he went to the Arctic Cordillera, the northernmost mountain range in the world, which is less than 800 kilometres from the North Pole. It's located on Ellesmere Island in Canada. And to get to the places the skiers wanted to go safely, they had to work closely with the local Inuit community and get to know them well. So I asked Matthias what he learned about their way of life.
Ja, also wir haben mehrere Inuit kennengelernt, und wie immer, wenn wir an solchen besonderen Orten Einheimische kennenlernen, war das sehr interessante Erfahrung. Für die Menschen ist es zum Beispiel ganz normal, dass alles Eis und Schnee ist, und für die ist auch ganz normal, dass man sich nur von Fleisch ernährt, weil es gibt eben dort nur Tiere, die man essen kann, und nichts Grünes, das man anbauen kann, und ist natürlich völlig konträr zu dem, wie wir leben.
And you use the sea ice to travel around. It's the best kind of motorway, if you like, that they have around there. There's been a lot of talk in recent months about how the climate is changing up in these Arctic areas. There's been record temperatures this summer. Was that an issue for the people there?
Das ist ein großes Thema dort. Also wir wussten auch schon, bevor wir hingefahren sind, dass das eine Region ist, da, wo der Klimawandel am allerstärksten zuschlägt. Es sind bereits 90% des Schelfeises auf Ellesmere Island abgeschmolzen in den letzten 100 Jahren. Und das größte Problem momentan haben die Einheimischen, dass die Eisbären immer mehr in die Orte kommen, weil sie eben das Eis am offenen Meer nicht mehr vorfinden, wo sie jagen. Und dadurch kommt es halt zu Reibereien zwischen Bär und Menschen.
Traveling in an area where there are polar bears is no joke. You need to take some safety precautions. What did you do?
Also wir haben uns eigentlich, bevor wir aufgebrochen sind, da haben wir die beschlossen, dass wir ohne der Sicherheit eines Hundes nicht dorthin fahren werden. Und wir wussten aber auch genau, dass sehr schwierig werden wird, einen Hund zu bekommen, der da mit uns auf Reisen geht. Und wir haben noch als Zusatz Pumpgun dabei gehabt, falls es wirklich ganz ausweglos erscheint, den Bären nicht mehr loszuwerden.
I'm glad you didn't have to use the pump gun, but people might be surprised that, you know, a dog plays such an important role. Tell me how these dogs, the Inuit dogs, protect people from polar bears.
Das Wichtigste ist, dass der Hund Alarm schlägt, sobald der Bär in die Nähe kommt, wenn der Mensch ihn noch lange nicht wahrnehmen kann. Und vor allem, wir müssen ja auch jeden Tag mindestens, sage ich mal, 8 Stunden schlafen. Und wäre da kein Hund dabei, dann müsste immer einer von uns Wache halten. Und das heißt, wir hätten da einen extremen Schlafmangel nach einiger Zeit. Und der Hund übernimmt quasi die Funktion der Alarmanlage für uns.